It was in this apartment also that there stood a gigantic clock of ebony. Its pendulum swung to and fro with a dull, heavy, monotonous clang. And when the hour was to be stricken, there came from the brazen lungs of the clock a sound which was clear and loud and deep and exceedingly musical, but of so peculiar a note and emphasis that at each lapse of an hour the musicians of the orchestra were constrained to pause, to hearken to the sound. And thus the waltzers perforce ceased their evolutions, and there was a brief disconcert of the whole gay company. And while the chimes of the clock yet rang, it was observed that the giddiest grew pale, and the more aged and sedate passed their hands over their brows, as if in confused reverie or meditation. But when the echoes had fully ceased, a light laughter at once pervaded the assembly, and they smiled as if at their own nervousness, and made whispering vows each to the other that the next chiming of the clock should produce in them no similar emotion. And then, after the lapse of 60 minutes, there came yet another chiming of the clock, and then were the same disconcert and tremulousness and meditation as before. But in spite of these things, it was a gay and magnificent revel. E. A. Poe, The Mask of the Red Death. The sleep of reason breeds monsters. Goya. It'll shine when it shines. Folk saying. Part 1. Prefatory Matters. 1. Job Interview. Jack Torrance thought, "Officious little prick." Ullman stood 5'5", and when he moved, it was with the prissy speed that seems to be the exclusive domain of all small, plump men. The part in his hair was exact, and his dark suit was sober but comforting. "I am a man you can bring your problems to," that suit said to the paying customer. To the hired help, it spoke more curtly. "This had better be good, you." There was a red carnation in the lapel, perhaps so that no one on the street would mistake Stuart Ullman for the local undertaker. As he listened to Ullman speak, Jack admitted to himself that he probably could not have liked any man on that side of the desk, under the circumstances. Ullman had asked a question he hadn't caught. That was bad. Ullman was the type of man who would file such lapses away in a mental Rolodex for later consideration. "I'm sorry? I asked if your wife fully understood what you would be taking on here. And there's your son, of course." He glanced down at the application in front of him. "Daniel? Your wife isn't a bit intimidated by the idea?" "Wendy is an extraordinary woman." "And your son is also extraordinary?" Jack smiled, a big, wide PR smile. "We like to think so, I suppose. He's quite self-reliant for a 5-year-old. No returning smile from Ullman. He slipped Jack's application back into a file. The file went into a drawer. The desktop was now completely bare except for a blotter, a telephone, a tensor lamp, and an in-out basket. Both sides of the in-out were empty, too. Ullman stood up and went to the file cabinet in the corner. "Step around the desk, if you will, Mr. Torrance. We'll look at the hotel floor plans." He brought back 5 large sheets and set them down on the glossy walnut plane of the desk. Jack stood by his shoulder, very much aware of the scent of Ullman's cologne. "All my men wear English leather or they wear nothing at all," came into his mind for no reason at all, and he had to clamp his tongue between his teeth to keep in a bray of laughter. Beyond the wall, faintly, came the sounds of the Overlook Hotel's kitchen, gearing down from lunch. "Top floor," Ullman said briskly. "The attic. Absolutely nothing up there now but bric-a-brac. The Overlook has changed hands several times since World War II, and it seems that each successive manager has put everything they don't want up in the attic. I want rat traps and poison bait sewed around in it. Some of the third-floor chambermaids say they have heard rustling noises. I don't believe it, not for a moment, but there mustn't even be that 1 in 100 chance that a single rat inhabits the Overlook Hotel." Jack, who suspected that every hotel in the world had a rat or two, held his tongue. "Of course, you wouldn't allow your son up in the attic under any circumstances." "No," Jack said, and flashed the big PR smile again. Humiliating situation. Did this officious little prick actually think he would allow his son to goof around in a rat-trap attic full of junk furniture and God knew